Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Want to say hello to all the subscribers. Thank you so much for checking us out every single week. I know it's a lot of interviews to keep up with. There's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I really do appreciate all the comments you've left in the various places you get your podcast from. Hopefully you get inspired to give the series a rating and a review. Those are always huge helps. And if you're not a subscriber, now is a great time to hit that button. You can do so wherever you get your podcast from, any of your favorite spots, your preferred listening device. Hit that subscribe. Keep up with us. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guest, the band Triumph. I'll be talking with Mike Levine about the 30th anniversary double vinyl package of the 1989 collection called Classics. This is a greatest hits deluxe edition that's came out with two new live tracks added on to it. The Never Surrender from the US Festival back in the 80s, and Blinding Light Show with Moonchild, which comes from their reunion show in 2008 at the Sweden Rock Festival. So we're going to talk about both of those shows, what made them kind of center in on those songs to include on this package, and how that set speaks to us 30 years later. We'll talk about a few of the songs, like Rock and Roll Machine, which had that great punk influence really before punk had even taken off, and Somebody's Out There, a single that became their highest charting single right as the band was falling apart. Mike's going to give us the stories there as well, and the news on an upcoming documentary. In fact, they've got a documentary coming out next year, and for this documentary, the band actually got back together for one show in front of 300 lucky superfans. So I want to hear what that experience is about, and if that's going to lead to even more live shows. That's a lot of work you put into a rehearsal for just one show, Mike. But we'll definitely get the update there. Talking about this 30th anniversary double vinyl package of Classics, it's Kyle Meredith with Triumph.
Hey, Kyle, how are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We're talking about the 30th anniversary of the Classics record, the greatest hits record that came out in 1989. You guys releasing the 30th anniversary double vinyl package. It's kind of fun. You know, a lot of times it's the spotlight goes on a certain album, so it's kind of fun putting the spotlight on a greatest hits like this. Was it just the anniversary rolling around that made you guys decide to do it?
There was just a whole bunch of things going on. You know, we've had actually a very busy year for a band that's not really touring or recording. But, you know, we're inducted into Canada's Walk of Fame this year, which is really, it's a huge national honor. Mm-hmm. And there's a documentary being filmed as well. It's been ongoing now for a year and a half. And we thought, you know, it's like the Classics album never really got its due because it was called what we called in the industry a recording contract commitment when
right.
You're leaving a label. Right? So they spend as little money as possible, make the vinyl out of ground-up dinky toys, and it's never, you know, there was no packaging, there was no nothing. So we thought, you know, it's like it's time to really do a nice package on it. So that's how it happens. Nice silver vinyl, gatefold. It sounds great. I mean, I've been knocked out with how good it sounds.
And you got the two extra, the live tracks on here that weren't on there originally. We're talking about Never Surrender, which was live from the U.S. Festival, and a Blinding Light show with Moonchild that comes from the reunion show. So two very different eras of Triumph right here. What's why those tracks? And I'll even ask, what stands out especially about Never Surrender and that U.S. Festival date, which has kind of become mythological in your all's career?
Yeah, you know, it was in order to get a really good level on a 12-inch album, you should never put more than 18, 19 minutes aside on it. You know, otherwise you get distortion, you know, your level's not as strong, your bass isn't as good, all that kind of thing. So a lot of acts, apparently, this is the research that people gave back to me, that a lot of acts, when they do double vinyl, on the fourth side, there's nothing there except the big logo that takes up the whole thing. So there's no music there. So I went, well, that's a little crazy. Let's put some music there, because really we had nothing to put on there from the greatest hits. It was already filled up. So, well, why don't we do something from the US Festival and Never Surrender? I think it was just smoking. I mean, we played great that day. It was we were noted for the big show and all the special effects and everything. We played bare naked daylight and we butt ass kicked. I'll tell you, it was just sensational. So we wanted that on there, and then the actual date, which is the first date we played together in God knows how many years in Sweden. At the Sweden Rock Festival, so we wanted something from there too. So at the end result, I think it's a really cool listening experience, and I think for those that don't buy it just as a souvenir and actually listen to it, it would be kind of fun to get up and turn a record over on your turntable.
Right. Yeah, and kind of
a lot of people have no idea.
It also gives us a chance to, if you haven't revisited some of these tracks, like there are some that are just sort of always in the ether. But, I went back and hearing Rock and Roll Machine Again, which had maybe been a few years. I mean, such a powerful song that I don't think I ever really knew the history on. I mean, had punk rock infiltrated prog rock with you all? Because it's the perfect prog punk song.
I don't think that was 1977, I want to say, when that was recorded, and the Rock and Roll Machine track. I don't think punk rock was not around yet. Maybe the Ramones in New York, maybe, kind of, but that was about it. It really hadn't hit it. There was no real scene for that as yet. We'd prefer to call it just, garage band rock back then, because that's what it was, really. just turn it up and steam along.
It's powerful. I mean, just power. So, I wouldn't say you predicted punk rock, but you were right there at the right time for that. That's for certain.
Well, that album did very, very well. It actually, in Europe and in Canada and in America, for that matter, it certainly put us on the map as being, not necessarily, we're on our way, let's put it that way. We graduated from a Volkswagen to a Lincoln, but we didn't hit a Cadillac yet.
Well, jump into another one, further down the timeline, Somebody's Out There, becomes your highest charting single in the later 80s. Did you have a feeling, though, that it was all about to break apart from the original side? Was the writing on the wall just yet?
Yeah, I think so. It's really hard to be in a band for a long time. It's not so much the personality issues; it's the creative issues too. Everybody wants to go a slightly different direction, and you got a record company that wants you to do this, and nobody wants to do it that way, and it just became. If Rick hadn't said, I think I want to go out on my own, I think we would have packed it up anyway at some point, within a year or two, regardless. So, everything has a stale date on it, best before. we were best before 1988, and that's. But, you know, we went out on top. You know, we didn't slug around doing bars and, you know, trying to make $12.99. Right. You know, our last big tour was the Sport of Kings tour, which was a sellout everywhere. So, you know, we were happy with to call it a career at that point. And the good news is, we're kind of all back together again with Rick, and we're all having a great time and laughing and scratching and reminiscing. And this documentary thing, again, really revisits the growth of the band and, you know, right through to today. You know, so it's I'll be very interested to see the film company that's doing it, the Banger Films, is the gold standard in rock docs. You know, they did Iron Maiden and ZZ Top and Rush. And God knows who else, but they're a first-class operation. So I'm really curious to see what they come up with.
So when should we be seeing that? Is that a next year type of thing, or is there an ETA yet?
Yeah, the ETA, actually, we just had a call about it yesterday, shooting for the fall of 2020, so September. We're hoping for release date at that point.
And you all posted on the website, too. You got together for a show for this documentary for, like, I think you said 300 lucky super fans. And it seems like it would be a lot of work just to do one show for rehearsals or anything. I mean, is that still the case? Was that just for that moment?
Yeah, it was just for that moment. And it was tough. I mean, you know, we didn't plan to play. But the response, you know, the film company got from the quote-unquote super fans, it was like, you know, for 150 spots, there was something like 2,500 requests.
Wow.
So, it was kind of rough. And these people, they came to Toronto on their own dime and, you know, bought their own hotel rooms and et cetera, et cetera. So we thought, you know, maybe we should play, surprise them. So, you know, we got together and rehearsed and went, well, maybe we shouldn't.
So, I mean, what is it like in that moment, though? You all have, you know, over 40 years experience together. Does it just kind of fall back in place in a way? Does it have that feeling, or is it really starting from scratch again?
No, it took maybe three go-arounds, three solid rehearsals, and we just looked at each other and said, hey, we're not too bad, you know, we're in peace again. This is where it all started, and, you know, it sounded pretty cool. You know, we didn't dare record anything because we were afraid of that part. But we got tight and got good. And when we played, it was phenomenal. You know, it was an absolute total surprise. And the fans just went apeshit. It was like unbelievable. Yeah, there's a moment that will be in the documentary 100%. Yeah. That how it all unfolded, and so it's a very, very cool moment.
Awesome. Well, Mike, I'm looking forward to that documentary, and again the 30th anniversary of Classics with the double vinyl package. Thank you so much for the conversation today and all the music as well. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Right, thanks, Kyle. And you know what? We love to play Louisville whenever we were there. You know, it was always a lot of fun. And I think we got arrested there for something bad.
Oh, man. I'll have to hear about that another time.
Yeah, I think it was fire marshal or something. There was an errant flash pot or something like that. I don't know. I've got this memory.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much.
All right. Okay, thanks, Kyle.
Bye.
Have a great one.
Hey, my thanks, Mike Levine. Triumph, the 30th anniversary double vinyl package of Classics, is out now. And as he mentioned, look for that documentary coming out possibly next August. And a big thanks to you for checking out the series. Again, if you're already a subscriber and you want to go ahead and give the series a rating and leave a review, as they're always a huge help. And if you're not, please do hit that subscribe button. You can grab us anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. Just grab your preferred listening device, hit that subscribe button. It is the best way to keep up with all of your favorite artists and what they're up to right now. And then after that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. Again, that's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on social media, at Kyle Meredith, wherever you social media from. And that does it for this edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Jen, and I love horror movies.
I'm Mikey. I'm dead inside, and I also love horror movies.
And we really like to torture our friend Todd because he hates horror movies.
That I do. And that's why they call me the horror virgin.
That's the only reason we call him that.
I'm not, no other reasons at all.
None at all. Whatever. So
every week, we take him through the encyclopedia of horror, the good, the bad, the ridiculously Jack Frosts.
And then we make fun of it, more or less.
Or explain its deceptive feminism.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. That's my thing.
And I'm the funny one. Our episodes drop on Monday, so check us out.